Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
MISD hires ECISD principal, hears bond recommendations, by Odessa American, July 26, 2023. The Midland ISD Board of Trustees approved the hire of Sally Smith as the new principal of Scarborough Elementary. She holds a Bachelor of Arts in Biology from the University of Texas and a Master of Education in Educational Administration. Currently, she serves as an assistant principal at Dr. Lee Buse Elementary in Ector County ISD and was named Elementary Assistant Principal of the Year, a news release stated. Smith has been a classroom teacher, assistant principal, and she has completed the expiring Principal Academy. She has a strong background with analyzing data, coaching, and supporting teachers, in turn leading to growth in student achievement at her previous campus. Also, at Tuesday night's meeting, the board heard recommendations from members of the Bond Planning Committee. The committee recommended that the board call for a bond election in November 2023. They noted district growth as one of the primary drivers of the need for a bond. There are currently 10 active subdivisions under the development, and projected growth is expected to reach over 32,146 students between now and 2033, an additional 4,325 students. In addition, the bond would address upgrades to aging facilities and focus on safety and security, the release said. They recommended two propositions for a total cost impact of $1.68 billion. Proposition A, New Midland High School, New Legacy High School, middle school additions and renovations, safety, security, and accessibility improvements across the district. Cost impact, $1.37 billion. Tax impact, $29 per month for the average home value of $341,000. Proposition B, New Elementary School in the Lone Star Trails Development, Northwest Midland. Renovations to aging facilities. Cost impact, $317.2 million. Tax impact, $8 per month for the average home value of $341,000. Both propositions combined equates to the following. Total cost impact, $1.68 billion. Tax impact, $37 for the average home of $341,000. Trustees also approved the hire of a new chief financial officer, Tucker Durham. Durham holds bachelor's and master's degrees from San Angelo State University. He currently serves as the chief financial officer for Pecos Barstow Toya ISD. He has experience with all areas of finance and how the finance division's work impacts the district. Durham is an experienced chief financial officer in the Permian Basin and is familiar with the economy, how oil and gas drives values, recapture bond processes, and paying down bonds to save taxpayers' money. The board recognized Transportation Routing Coordinator Alisa Felix, who was recently named Operations Specialist of the Year by Texas Association of Pupil Transportation. The board also recognized the Talent Acquisition and Development Team for their efforts in putting on a spectacular leadership summit July 18th through the 20th. Panel Debates, Where Public Schools Go From Here, by Ruth Campbell, July 25, 2023. The ongoing battle to pass education saving accounts, disappointment that recommendations from the Teacher Vacancy Task Force were not taken up, and lack of a teacher pay raise were some of the items discussed during a Texas Tribune event titled, Where Do Public Schools Go From Here, Tuesday. The live-streamed event was moderated by Texas Tribune education reporter Brian Lopez. It featured panelists Senator Brandon Creighton, Republican Conroe, Dallas ISD, Superintendent Stephanie Isalde, San Antonio teacher Laura Herrera, and Laura Colangelo, Executive Director of the Texas Private Schools Association. Creighton said budget passed had almost $9 billion in new money for education as a whole. That is strong for Texans to see. It's strong for the nation to see. With that money that is currently parked in the Texas budget, that indicates where we fell short on the school finance bill and teacher pay raises, as we couldn't agree between the House and the Senate. not just on that issue, but a few others, as we just sort of landed the plane on tax reform and tax relief. We'll get there, Creighton said. He added that it's frustrating, but when you look back, there were legislative sessions in the 80s and 90s where there were multiple special sessions. We had times where we had money to spend, but we had to figure out exactly the best way to spend it, Creighton said. There were bills that didn't pass, but Creighton said it shows the legislature is continuing to listen. It's a process, so when we come back in the special session, all these priorities will culminate and we'll deploy the money that was set aside and is already approved in the budget, he added. Isolde said she knows a lot of superintendents who have gone into deficit budgets to provide any kind of raises to their employees. I so respect that Texas is the ninth largest economy in the world, but Isolde said it still ranks 43rd in public school funding and she still gets $6,160 per student. I am hopeful that in October that can be something that could be addressed because we know inflation since 2019 has affected everything. So whether we're talking teachers or custodians or counselors or our cafeteria workers or our principals, all of their cost of living have increased and we haven't seen any of those types of increases in public school funding, Elizalde said. Herrera said from her perspective as a teacher, school districts across Texas are doing their best to keep up with inflation and they're listening to teachers. The governor's task force was disappointing because there were so many good ideas that came out of it. I feel as teachers, we always want a seat at the table. We want to be a part of that decision-making, but when we're a part of that decision-making and that goes askew, it's a little bit disappointing, Herrera said. I feel like districts are going to have their hands tied. They have given salary raises, but then at the same time, there's going to be a budget shortfall, which is going to mean less money for our schools and less money for our staff and students, she added. Creighton said parents are demanding school choice. We have to make sure that as we launch the effort for school choice in the session, it continues to be an emergency item because our parents demand it. It's not a typical voucher. It's an education savings account that does include transportation, but again, parents don't have to use it. If they love their public schools, if Title I is the issue, or parents decide, you know, there's a gap there in what that private school tuition might cost, which, by the way, is an average of $9,000 across the state, there's a gap there that I don't want to fill. There's not a mandate, Creighton said. He said the education savings accounts are $8,000 and Raise Your Hand Texas says most public schools get about $10,000 per student when you average all the allotments together. We're increasing that with our school funding effort, it's all going to fit together. The synergy is going to work, Creighton said. He added that it's been tried in other states under Democratic and Republican governors and it hasn't been bad for them. Under 175 different empirical studies, it's actually been good for them. We're going to be fine in this effort, Creighton said. Isolde said public schools take each and every student regardless of their background. I think we absolutely can have a stream of different experiences and perspectives. To think that educators would be putting an organization above students, it's completely opposite of what public school educators do each and every day. I absolutely think there is a way to have both, and I do not think it's fair to say that there's a protectionist mindset because we're concerned that if this were for each and every student, Isolde said. In Dallas, private schools like Greenhill, Hockaday, and St. Mark's cost upwards of $25,000 to $30,000 a year. She said there's no way that $8,000 education savings account will be enough to help parents access those private schools. Isolde noticed that those schools do offer scholarships and Dallas ISD provides referrals. We want to continue to stay focused on students and ensure that every single student is getting that education, and we'll continue to ensure that we continue to improve because we do know that every single person does want, I think everyone in the legislature also wants, what's best for the kids. We may just have a different viewpoint of trying to get there, Isolde said. In the upcoming special session, Colangelo said they are going to look at prioritizing low-income children, special needs children, and making sure children that need scholarships will get them. 98% of my schools want to participate in a program like this. They already have millions of dollars in scholarships they give out now because to have a truly quality educational experience, you have to have the diversity of viewpoints of students in your classroom. So there's a lot of scholarship money going out to create that kind of quality educational atmosphere. This is only augmenting what is already in place in the private schools. It's just allowing more families access to this type of education, Colangelo said. She added that her organization is going to make sure that the children who need it get it and that there is accountability in their accreditation. Private schools administer norm reference tests, so there is testing going on in private schools to make sure the children are making progress year over year. We want to see that in the bills that come out. We want to make sure we're going to get the data that we need on those children, those scholarship children, so we can see if it works. I think we are going to see that it does work based on the 32 other states that have this, and we're ready to get this started, Colangelo said. Herrera said, there has always been school choice in districts in Texas. Putting a floating barrier in the Rio Grande to stop migrants is new. The idea isn't. By Associated Press, July 25, 2023. By Paul J. Weber, The Associated Press. Austin, Texas, in the final months of the Trump administration, a new plan to seal off the United States' southern border started gaining steam, a floating water barrier to discourage migrants from trying to cross from Mexico. The idea never materialized, but 3 years later, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott has put it into action. The state installed a floating barrier of bright orange, wrecking ball-sized buoys on the Rio Grande this month, stretching roughly the length of three soccer fields. It is an untested strategy of deterring migrants along the U.S. border that is already fortified in wide sections by high steel fencing and razor wire. The rollout of the buoys on the Rio Grande has thrust Texas into a new standoff with the Biden administration over immigration on the state's 1,200-mile border with Mexico. The Justice Department has asked a federal court to order Texas to remove the buoys, saying the water barrier poses humanitarian and environmental concerns along the international boundary. Abbott has waved off the lawsuit as he is cheered on by conservative allies who are eager for cases that would empower states to take on more aggressive immigration measures. That legal battle comes as President Joe Biden's administration defends a new asylum rule in court. A federal judge Tuesday blocked the policy that the administration sees as a way of controlling the southern border while maintaining avenues for migrants to pursue valid asylum claims. The judge's order won't take effect for at least 2 weeks. Here's what to know about the river barrier. The water wall. Like other pieces of Abbott's multi-billion dollar border mission known as Operation Lone Star, the buoys pick up where former President Donald Trump left off. In 2020, Mark Morgan was the acting commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He told the Associated Press on Tuesday that he approved plans to deploy the same water barrier on the Rio Grande that Texas is now using. That August, the Army Corps of Engineers posted a solicitation for a buoy barrier system that would mitigate the ability of swimmers to climb over or under it. Morgan called it the water wall. It was really designed to be a stopgap to utilize in high-flow areas where we didn't have a physical structure in place, Morgan said. Spokespersons for CBP did not immediately address questions Tuesday about the 2020 plans. The Federal International Boundary and Water Commission, whose jurisdiction includes boundary demarcation and overseeing U.S.-Mexico treaties, said it didn't get a heads-up from Texas about the state's floating barrier. Experts have raised concerns about the buoys changing the river's flow or of objects getting caught in them. Morgan, who is now a visiting fellow with the Conservative Heritage Foundation, says environmental reviews under Trump raised issues with the barrier but said he could not recall specifics. Just like the physical wall itself, right, there are a variety of things you can do to accommodate that, he said. Flouted federal law. It is unclear how quickly a federal judge in Texas will rule on Biden administration's lawsuit. Until then, roughly 1,000 feet of barrier will remain on a portion of the Rio Grande that separates Eagle Pass and Piedras Negras, Mexico. The Mexican government has also raised concerns about the barrier, saying it may violate 1944 and 1970 treaties on boundaries and water. The Biden administration's lawsuit accuses Texas of violating the Federal Rivers and Harbor Act. Vanita Gupta, Associate Attorney General, said Texas flouted federal law and risks damaging U.S. foreign policy. The buoys are the latest escalation in Texas's border mission that also includes National Guard patrols, jails that house migrants arrested on trespassing charges, and busloads of asylum seekers sent to Democratic-led cities across the U.S. See you in court, Mr. President. Abbott has tried to position America's biggest red state as the foremost antagonist to the Biden administration's border policies. Last year, Abbott easily won a third term in a campaign that focused on border policies. In a letter to Biden this week, Abbott said the state was acting within its rights to protect its borders. "Texas will see you in court, Mr. President," he wrote. He said it was the Biden administration that was putting migrants at risk by not doing more to dissuade them from making the journey to the U.S. Texas woman pleads guilty to drug trafficking charge, faces up to life in prison, by Odessa American, July 25, 2023. Alpine, a Presidio County woman, pleaded guilty Tuesday in a federal court in Alpine to one count of possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine and fentanyl, a U.S. Department of Justice press release detailed. According to court documents, Cherokee Lee Perez, 33, provided a negative declaration during a Customs and Border Patrol vehicle inspection at the Presidio port of entry from Mexico into the U.S. A narcotic detection canine discovered more than 36 packages hidden in the vehicle. 29 of the packages contained approximately 4.5 kilograms of methamphetamine, while the other 13 contained 7 kilograms of fentanyl. Perez is scheduled to be sentenced on October 23rd and faces a penalty of 10 years to life in prison. A federal district court judge will determine any sentence after considering the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. U.S. Attorney Jamie Esparza of the Western District of Texas and Special Agent in Charge Francisco B. Barola of Homeland Security Investigations El Paso Division made the announcement. HSI is investigating the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney Scott Greenbaum is prosecuting the case. Tony says, "Big mistake enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan," by guest contributor, July 26, 2023. Hello, Tony. The first week, my wife and I moved to Houston from Oklahoma. I had a wonderful surprise in my front yard. There was your Medicare column discussing different Medicare options for someone with health issues. I am 70 years old and I am seeking medical care from MD Anderson for colon cancer. I enrolled in the Medicare Advantage HMO when I was in Oklahoma and was told that I could transfer to a Houston doctor when I moved on June 15th. I made a big mistake in enrolling because I did not know I could wait until I moved. Now I have discovered that MD Anderson does not accept this Medicare HMO plan. I need to enroll in a Medicare supplement, but I do not know how to disenroll from this Medicare Advantage plan and return to Medicare with a Medicare supplement. Time is ticking because my cancer treatment needs to begin soon. I need to do this fast. Thanks, James from Spring, Texas." Hi, James. Thank you for the great compliment. I know how overwhelming it can be to understand the rules of Medicare, especially when you are mentally drained due to a serious illness. Let me explain how the Tony Says Medicare team helps clients who want to disenroll from their Medicare Advantage plan and return to original traditional Medicare. There is a special enrollment period, or SEP, to help you qualify for a change from your Medicare Advantage plan. A special enrollment period, or SEP, is for certain situations when you are able to join, switch, and drop a Medicare Advantage plan. These special situations are moving out of area. is when you have moved out of your area, such as James moving from Oklahoma to the Houston area. This qualifies James for an SEP, allowing you to disenroll from his Medicare Advantage plan and return to original Medicare. There is a time limit, which is 60 days from the date one moves, and James's date is August 15th, since he moved to Texas on June 15th. Other SEPs are enrolled in Medicaid, qualify for extra help for prescription drugs, moving into a long-term care facility such as skilled nursing facility, assisted living facility, personal care home, Alzheimer's, living facilities, etc. Loss of credible prescription drug coverage such as insurance through your employer. The trick to disenrolling from a Medicare Advantage plan when an SEP is granted is to enroll in a standalone Part D plan. Then automatically you are disenrolled from your Advantage plan and re-enrolled in Original Medicare. Returning to Original Medicare will be effective on the first of the next month. Receiving Medigap Medicare Supplement Open Enrollment. James, because you enrolled in Part B beginning June 1st, you are within your six-month Medigap Medicare Supplement Open Enrollment period, which ends November 30th. This means you can receive your Medicare supplement without having to answer health underwriting questions. Medicare states during the Medigap open enrollment period, an insurance company can't use medical underwriting to decide whether to accept your application. The Medigap Medicare supplement open enrollment period lasts for 6 months, beginning the first day of the month in which you are either age 65 or older and have enrolled in Medicare Part B. Wait past 6 months from enrolling in Part B, and you must qualify by having to answer medical underwriting questions. James, I'm glad you reached out to me with your question because with Medicare, what you don't know will hurt you. Need Medicare help? Call the Tony Says Medicare hotline at 832-519-8664 or email info@tonysays.com for assistance. Tony's new book, Maze of Medicare, is the first book explaining Medicare that includes scripture and positive quotes to help relieve the common stress in understanding Medicare. More information is available at tonysays.com.
This is the Dear Appy column. Woman asks Appy to convey message to man in need. Dear Abby, there is a man, Gus, I am completely madly in love with. The issue is he likes to drink. A lot. The only thing he wants to do when he's not sleeping or working is drink. His health is rapidly deteriorating, and he lost his license for 10 years because of drinking and driving. Last weekend he picked me up, and we went to the gas station. When we got there, he was so drunk he couldn't even pull up to the pump, but just parked in the middle. When I told him he was too drunk to be driving, he drove off and left me standing at the gas station and hasn't spoken to me since. I guess that's how he decided to end our relationship. He needs to get help, and that's why I'm writing you. He reads your column every single day and never ever misses it. I love him. He is my he-man and the best man I have ever met when he's not drinking. I'm asking you to please let him know he will always have my heart, that my love for him is unconditional and endless, and I will be praying for him. Please urge him to get the help he needs before it is too late. Thank you for helping him. I'm sure it will make a difference. Signed, His Girl in Missouri. Dear Girl, I am sorry you are hurting. But if you step back, you may accept that as ugly a way as your boyfriend chose to end your relationship, it may have been a life-saving favor to you. Nowhere in your letter did you say that he, as wonderful as he may be when sober, has tried to overcome his addiction to alcohol. Until he recognizes how dangerous his behavior is and decides to do something about it, nothing will change, and your community is unsafe with this drunk behind the wheel. He may need rehab or Alcoholics Anonymous, but until he recognizes it and reaches out for help, his behavior won't change. You, however, might benefit from attending Al-Anon meetings. al-anon.org/info. If you do, you will meet others who are also involved with alcoholics. It's obvious to me that you need all the emotional support you can get, and you can find it there. Dear Abby, my boyfriend of 6 years left me 5 months ago for another woman. We were engaged to be married later this year. After he left, I discovered that for the last 2 years he had been seeing this woman behind my back. It was devastating. We are expecting quadruplets in about 4 months, and he all of a sudden abandoned me and our babies. It has been a big shock. Am I normal for feeling devastated, angry, mad, and hateful all at the same time? And is it normal for me to want my ex to give me the closure I and his babies deserve so that I can move on with my life alone? What advice do you have for me? Signed, Suffering in Iowa. Dear Suffering, you have my deepest sympathy. Your feelings are normal, and you have good reason for your anger and outrage. Your next step should be into the office of an attorney who will help ensure that the boyfriend who abandoned you will support his 4 babies into adulthood. Because you are linked to him for the next 18 years, you cannot have total closure. But this would be a giant leap in the right direction. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.